Well, there you go. The best high school preview football show in the world, maybe in the whole solar system. Bill Newell getting 11 coaches on and all that analysis and information before tonight's games. Hi there, I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and tonight we're trying to beat the weather as we've changed the start time. We didn't do it. The ADs have changed the start time for tonight's Peabody at Danvers High School game, and this is a big one for each school. Danvers in a two-game losing streak, and, of course, Peabody in a two-game winning streak. And this has become quite a rivalry, as tonight's game will feature two really improving offenses and some pretty good defense, too. Peabody's defense has come on strong in the last two games. We'll talk more about that later on. And, of course, Danvers playing very well all season, but running into some tough times recently. So both teams are down in the field warming up, and we're going to have a 5:30 kickoff. That's the scheduled start time here. We will have live streaming video at some point, weather permitting, but because of the change in start time, our streamographer, Alex Sanfilippo, is still at work, and so he'll be bringing the gear over here soon to get started, and we'll set up somewhere outside, I'm sure. So hang with us. We should have our live streaming video by the time the game starts, or at least very shortly thereafter. And again, it's weather permitting. Clouds looking very ominous down to our south. 63 degrees right now and overcast. A very warm, humid night. The field is always in good shape. It has to be on these brand new fields with the Falcon out front there. Oh, let me shut the music down. That's still going. Very impressive here at Danvers High School. And again, brand new high school, brand new field. Seniors 2017, again, this is the last regular season game. The playoffs start next week, so we have no idea what will be next week. But I should tell you that over on Channel 8 tonight at 7 o'clock, with the pregame at 6:30, we will have our second game from Manning Field, Beverly at Lynn Classical, and Tim Kearns, Bill Newell, will be bringing you that one. If you didn't hear the entire preview show, the weekend football preview show, just check it out. It's right on our website. I think it's about the second or third story down, and it is there in its entirety. The Danvers band is warming up right under the art atrium over at Danvers High School, and they have the drum line out on the other side practicing. Very impressive also. Don't know how many people we're going to have tonight. I think a lot of people will try to brave it early and then see if see if they can make it before the rain starts. And I don't know. We'll see. Lights are on, needless to say, and again, Danvers warming up down to the right. They've got blue jerseys on with the off-white pants, and Peabody Tanners in all-white tonight with their blue numerals. So when we come back, we'll chat a little bit, I hope, with Paul Ingram, and we'll also be checking in with both coaches as we talk with Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt, along with Danvers football coach Sean Terrio. That's all coming up here in our pregame show at MSONewsports.com. So stay with us. We'll be back, and we got football, oh, I don't know, what time is it now? About 25 minutes away? About 27 minutes away here on MSO. So we'll be back. High school football tonight. It is Peabody at Danvers. And just to let you know, where it went, here it is. Let you know about the other games tonight, too. But if Bill comes tonight, we're going to try to talk about the Division 1A standings and the Division 2 standings with respect to the playoffs. But right now, the Beverly Panthers at 2-2, Danvers at 3-1, 5-1 overall. They've won three in a row. I think I said they lost two, but that was Beverly. Danvers has won three in a row, and they're 3-1 in the league, still trying to catch Marblehead, praying that Classical knocks them off tonight, 5-1 overall. Peabody, meanwhile, coming on strong. They're 3-3 in the league. They've won their last two in the league. They're 3-3 overall, won their last two in the league, and they're now 2-2. Marblehead, of course, out in front of everybody, 6-0. Overall, and 4-0 in the conference. And we'll take a little bit closer look at these teams in just a little while. So we'll be back. Stay with us. This is MSONewsSports.com. Football coming up in just a while.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
Take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821. With great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at harringtontrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
So other games tonight, as you might have heard on Bill's pregame, or his preview show, I should say. We've got Beverly at Lynn Classical. That one is on Channel A. That'll be a 7 o'clock start with the pregame show at 6:30, and Bill will have both coaches for you on that one. Again, Beverly at Lynn Classical with Andy... sorry, I was going to say Andy Morency, but that doesn't work, does it? With Coach Morency and with Coach Phelps. Lynn English is at Marblehead tonight. Salem is at Revere. Swampscott at Winthrop. And Saugus is at Gloucester. Saugus trying to check at Gloucester, trying to have a homecoming for the first time ever, I believe. So they're going to have a homecoming, whatever that means, and senior night as well. Other games, St. John's Prep at Bridgewater. Raynham Cardinal Spelman at Bishop Fenwick. St. Mary's travels to Austin Prep. Big game up in the Cape Ann League, Masconomet and Triton. That one is interesting. Masco playing very well. Triton running into some tough sledding. Newburyport playing well at North Reading. Another big game. Georgetown at Ipswich. Manchester Essex trying to rebound and take advantage of their almost comeback win last week will be at Amesbury. Whittier at Essex Tech tonight. Other games, Wakefield at Winchester. And you heard from Wakefield coach Steve Cummings, along with all these other coaches tonight. Woburn at Melrose, Wilmington at Burlington, and Reading at Arlington in the area. Also, Everett hosting Malden. Malden Catholics at Catholic Memorial tomorrow. It's kind of slim. Linfield is at Hamilton Wenham. That's a 1 o'clock start in the morning. It's Lynn Tech at Northeast. Bingry is at Tabor at 3. And in college football, Western New England powerhouse playing at Endicott. That is a noon start. And again, we'll try to have the video tonight, our videographer a little bit late. We'll have Alex Sanfilippo from streamography.com should be here, and weather permitting, we will have the game, but he's a little late. He was ready for a 7 o'clock game, and, you know, he got shifted back to 5:30, and he had to get out of work and grab his gear. Here he is. He's here now. So we'll be setting up. We will have live streaming video tonight of tonight's game on this channel and over on Channel A. That game will be at 7 o'clock, and that is radio only. All right, so we'll take another break, come back, and check in with Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. This is MSONewsSports.com.
This is MSONewsSports.com. The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell with Mark Betancourt, head football coach at Peabody High School. And, Mark, you have a big one this week.
Absolutely. Every time Peabody plays Danvers, it seems to be big the last couple of years.
Now, you know, this is a game I'm sure you'd love to have at home here, but in a way, you really do focus. Sometimes you can focus more on the road, possibly.
Well, I mean, it's their senior night. We had our senior night last Friday night. I know how important it is to the seniors and how big it is for the team to play well on that day. So we got our hands full. Probably going to deal with a very pumped-up Danvers team coming into this.
Well, tell me about what has come along with your team since the start of the season. It seems like the offense is clicking a little bit more.
Yeah, the beginning of the season, we were having difficulties communicating. Seemed every play we were missing one or two guys, and we've been able to tighten that up a little bit, and the communication in our offensive line has gotten much better. To the point of the last couple of games, I thought we played almost flawless.
The Jake Doherty, tell me about him. He was named our MSO Player of the Week this past week.
Jake Doherty is a throwback. Yeah, you know, there's certain kids when your coaches say, you know, that kid could have played on my team. Jake Doherty's one of those kids. We got him playing both ways. Obviously, he's playing two very important positions on both sides of the ball. He's on the field for all of our special teams. You know, we go as Jake Doherty goes, and you know, we have some other guys on the team that play that role, but none play it better than Jake.
I know your defense, as I mentioned earlier, has done really well this year, but they've got a big challenge in facing Danvers this week, and they're a tough team to kind of figure out because they can beat you in a lot of different ways, kind of in unexpectedly.
Well, they're very similar to Marblehead in that they have so many weapons. You try to stop one thing and they beat you someplace else. So we're gonna have to cover the field. It's gonna be another one of those games where you have to cover all 11 guys. You can't leave anybody uncovered. You can't miss a responsibility. If you do, they seem to find it and take advantage of it.
I'm sure you will. All right, Coach. Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mark Betancourt, head football coach with Peabody High School, with us here on MSO News Sports.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today. MSONewsSports.com. MSO Radio.
All right, we're back at Dr. Deering Stadium as Peabody is still warming up down on the football field. Ambrose has moved off to the locker room, and it's a very impressive sight seeing them walk back to that new place. I think the high school is new. I'm not sure about the, the adjacent complexes as well, the gym and so on. And really cool looking, set in the woods as it always was. The football field is at a 90 degree different configuration from what it was in the past, and so we're looking really out to the west, and a lot of color out there right now, and should be pretty decent. The wind is blowing, I think, out of the southeast perhaps. I'll have to figure that, but it's blowing pretty stiffly down the field, and it'll be a bit of a cross breeze, blowing diagonally from one end zone to the other, and that'll be from our left to our right. Paul Ingram is on the way. We'll check in with Coach Ingram in just a minute. We'll also check in with Danvers High School football Sean Terrio in just a second. You heard the outlook from Coach Betancourt, and he does see this as a rivalry that has really developed over the last few years, and this ought to be a pretty interesting game, to say the least. Taj Coakley warming up downstairs with a couple of other guys, and everybody else has gone in for Danvers. So we'll be back in just a second with Coach Sean Terrio. This is MSONewsSports.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, back with Danvers football coach Sean Terrio now. And, Coach, before we even get started, it seems like in the NEC, every game is a big game. There's no sleepers.
Yeah, no, we knew that going into the season, that every game was going to be a battle. And even the teams that maybe their record isn't great, they're physical teams that, they bring it every week. And, like you said, every week's a challenge.
You know, sometimes you see teams that, may not have a great record, and they may not play well in a certain week, but boy, the talent is there. And then some night they put it together and they give you fits.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Specifically the two Lynn schools who maybe don't have great records, but you could say there's a handful of kids on each one of those teams that you say, boy, I wish I had them on our squad, because they're big, strong kids that, play football well, and this year they haven't put it together, but in years past they have, and I'm sure they will again soon.
All right, tell me about the Beverly game, because from a fan's perspective, that was awesome to watch.
Yeah, no, that's a great program. Over the past 10-15 years, have been one of the best programs probably in the state, and we got up on them towards the end of the fourth quarter, but they didn't quit. They kept fighting, scoring, and they're able to kind of make it a game at the end.
You guys have offensive stars who get the stats and they get in the paper every week. But what I like to ask the coaches give me a lineman who, when you get 35 points, you got somebody who's doing something right up front. So when you watch the game film, is there some guy that you say, geez, I didn't know he played that well? Or you said, yeah, that just reaffirms what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick one because, you know, they all do such a tremendous job. You know, Bruno Abatessa really like solidifies us on both sides of the ball. He has to snap the ball. He has to make the blocks. He has to play nose guy, take on the double teams. You know, he does a phenomenal job. Cole Johnson made probably the block of the year. You know, just getting downfield 25 yards and blocking a safety on one particular run. Kyle Purcell plays both sides of the ball and always knows exactly what he needs to do. Jack Ackerley, again, both sides of the ball, and Brad Anderson is getting a lot of time both sides of the ball now and just doing a great job, probably our most physical lineman out of the group.
Who's gained the most experience for you? Maybe a player who, or players, or a concept that maybe you started early in the season, team didn't quite have it, but they have it now.
I would say throwing the ball, you know, play action passes and get the ball down the field to some guys that can really run and make plays down the field. And that really all starts with Dean, you know, his ability to run the ball and to make plays with defensive linemen in his face down the field. You know, it's really opened up our offense.
How much freedom does a quarterback have to either call timeout or change a play if that's possible in high school?
Yeah, I mean, we have a couple plays where, you know, he has a choice whether to go right, left, or, you know, do something different with it. Not as much this year as in years past is as much of a read as general. Yeah, I mean, anytime that he's a pretty savvy kid, and he can usually put us in the right spot.
I almost dropped my notebook here. Well, you know, speaking of passing, I almost fell out of the press box the other night watching Peabody in the first quarter because I go back to when Arthur Adamopoulos had the team, and I think they maybe have thrown six passes in an entire season. But they had three touchdown passes in the first quarter, which gives you something else to think about this week.
Yeah, you know, like you said, that's a team that generally in the past, if they have thrown the ball, it's been very minimally, and it's been short passes. But I think they got a guy that they're pretty comfortable with, you know, and they got some athletes on the outside that they can get the ball to, and they've really developed their offense. You know, it's definitely more dynamic than just the ground and pound attack when Santos was there, and you know, they do a lot of things well now.
They seem to be peaking right now, but so are you guys, and I know that you had that experience last year where you got physically, you ran into a wall in the playoffs, and so are you doing anything different this year, you know, late in the season?
Yeah, well, I mean, I had this exact conversation with the players yesterday after practice because I started seeing some of the same things that happened last year.
Really?
Before the Peabody game. The kids get pretty high. They feel pretty good about themselves, and I think every now and again they need to be readjusted and reminded that, you know, Peabody took it to us last year, and we can't allow that to happen again.
So do you get out the broom or the whip, or what happens? Raise your voice a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you try to talk stern to them. You try to be, you know, real with them and realistic with them, and, you know, I think they respect that you talk to them on their level, and you're just reminding them and, you know, reminding the seniors of their job as leaders to make sure that everything goes the way it's supposed to go.
Final question, Coach. Last week against Beverly, you know, in that big game, was there a turning point or a particular point in the game that, you know, that made you feel, okay, this is swinging our way, or did it go right down to the last minute?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, when they snapped the punt over their own head, I mean, we felt pretty good because at that point it was a pretty close game. I think that put us up by at least two scores. You know, two scores is usually get a little bit more comfortable, especially with our defense. You know, and I felt pretty good at that point. But, you know, again, you know, we learned that until that last whistle blows, you know, you got to be ready to go.
I lied. One more question. Weather concern you at all if it's a rainy night on Friday night?
You know, I think now that we're at the point where, you know, we're able to adjust accordingly to the weather, you know, we're not just a throw-it-around team, and they're not just a throw-it-around team. We're both pretty balanced attacks, and, you know, so it'll be the same for both of us.
Sean Terrio, Danvers football coach on MSONewsSports.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we're back live, and you heard from both coaches. Paul Ingram is here now, and Coach, we've seen Peabody the last couple of weeks, and what are your impressions? They, you know, they've had two complete games, both on offense and defense.
Right. Well, they played. You can hear a little something else. Okay, is that the?
Yeah, that's the PA. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's that. That
pretty
is
loud.
Sean Daugherty.
Okay, so we.
Hey, he helps us a lot here. So.
Well, they played two very good games. They were very well balanced. They threw the ball well, ran the ball well, and it seemed like their kicking game. And defensively, they were fine. The only thing is you have to be cautious because they beat Classical and English, who have not, you know.
Yeah.
So you don't know, but I also did go see the Beverly Danvers game last week, and, boy, that was impressive. Danvers seems very confident in themselves. And we were the first game we did was here, and they struggled against Winthrop, but it seems like they've certainly built up their confidence, and, you know, they seem very well balanced. They're not really big on defense, but they did a good job stopping Beverly, and they certainly were able to move the ball. And, of course, Borders didn't play that first game, and now he's back, and I think it really adds a lot to their offense.
Well, a couple of things. Interestingly, Danvers is 79 points allowed on defense, and Peabody, 81 points allowed on defense. That's second and third best in the league. Marblehead with the best, 63 points allowed. So the Danvers and Peabody defenses are playing pretty well.
Right.
The other thing is, I talked with Sean Terrio, and I asked him about this time of year, if there's anything you could do to prevent. It wasn't burnout last year, but they got beat up physically, Paul, in the playoffs.
Right.
And then they had to play Gloucester on Thanksgiving. And, you know, Gloucester's no weak sister of the poor. So, you know, I asked him if he's doing anything differently, and he said different message this year with the kids, and they're very wary about each game, you know, the physical aspects of it, and they're hoping to stay intact, but I don't know if you can do that.
I think what it also had to do with is their offense was so limited. They, you know, Andreas and Lynch, I mean, on every play, one of them carried the ball and rarely threw the ball, and they were running it from the shotgun, and he kind of knew what was going to happen. And, you know, even in high school football, carrying the ball that many times, you take a beating. And I think it caught up with him near the end of the
definitely.
Season.
Definitely. All right, we want to remind you that this game will have live streaming video. And Alex Sanfilippo is our streamographer, and he's setting up as we speak. So we'll have the game. We will have the live streaming video of this game. And then tonight, later on at 7 o'clock, it'll be over on Channel A. It will be Beverly at Lynn Classical, and Beverly, of course, on a roll, and they can wrap up the whole thing tonight, as Gloucester can in the South, and Gloucester's having their first ever homecoming, whatever that is.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I thought we had one years ago.
Did you?
Yeah, I believe we did, but in any event, they're celebrating it tonight, and hopefully the weather's fine for them.
And I wonder what what's the derivation of homecoming? What is it? What is it even?
I think it's a chance for a lot of the older players to all come back at the same time, and, you know, fans maybe see classmates, teammates.
Uh-huh. All right, we're just minutes away from the start tonight as the Danvers Falcons now have come onto the field. They're on their all, or check it. Yeah, that's the Peabody Tanners coming onto the field. Pretty good crowd here on this side for everybody's on this side, but pretty good crowd underneath us. From Peabody, and they're traveling pretty well. The numbers, Paul, they've got a lot of guys playing football.
Yeah, they do. We were impressed with that. I thought I counted like 82 last week. And, you know, those are great numbers for the program. Of course, they're a big school.
Mm-hmm.
Danvers, sort of like Gloucester, you know, around 850, 900 students, and you're not going to have the numbers. Rick, what was the reason for the change in time of the game?
Weather.
Oh, because of...
I guess it's predicted to be pretty, pretty stormy later on tonight. I looked at weatherchannel.com, and they were just calling for showers and some steady rain later, but they weren't calling... However, there are gale warnings out, and the wind is blowing pretty good right now. I wouldn't call it a gale, but it's, you know, probably 15 miles an hour right now. Looks like it may be out of the southeast, maybe? So, or southwest. I got to get my bearings here.
Well, a lot of times coaches don't want to take the risk of playing in really bad weather, you know, although the artificial surfaces certainly make a difference. But, you know, you just those unknowns of a slippery ball and, you know, reducing the passing attack. So if you get the opportunity, why not play it in better weather?
Winds out of the east-southeast. Yeah, but two schools that always are mutters are Beverly and Gloucester. They like to play in the mud.
Go ahead, Paul. I can say the kids really love to play them, but you know, they may not. You don't ask the kids what they want to do.
Oh, okay. All right, we need to take one more break. We'll come back with the kickoff as the coin toss has been made. I think we're going to have a national anthem, so we will be right back momentarily.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern. The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody, and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston.
All right, we're underway, and Matt Andreas returns the ball from about his 15 all the way out to the Danvers 36-yard line.
I think that's Barker for Peabody.
Pardon me?
It's Barker for Peabody.
Barker where?
Carried the ball. Danvers is on defense.
No, correct. Peabody's on defense. Danvers,
oh, I'm sorry.
Danvers,
I can't see.
Danvers
has
got the top blue. Yep, that was Matt Andreas who got the ball back to the 36. Okay, we all right now?
They got on the other sideline. I didn't realize Danvers was...
Yeah, these you can see the steer on the helmet here. So it's first and 10. We've got an offset eye formation for quarterback quarters for Danvers High School at their own 36, and they are moving from left to right as we start this game. Here's a reverse Tosh Coakley going from right to left, stutter-stepping. Hurdles a tackler in the backfield and maybe gets out a yard, maybe two, as he ran about 50 yards laterally and got maybe two or three forward.
It looked like a split end reverse, and you got to give Peabody credit. A lot of times the defensive end on the side away from the play will chase the play, but the defensive end for Peabody stayed home and turned the play in. And,
all right. Okay, so...
Why do you want to defense it?
All right, they get it to the 39, so it is a three-yard gain. And the Falcons... have a second down and 7 to start this game. Just underway. Threatening skies, but beautiful out right now. Very nice summer night, about 63 degrees. Coakley again in motion from right to left with the eye stacked up behind Borders. He keeps the ball, and he powers forward close to the first down at the 45-yard line.
Danvers used to run the quarterback sneak a lot when Chris Small was the quarterback back in, I think, the early 2000. And, boy, it's a tough play. You got to stop the quarterback sneak, and big pickup there.
Yep, it's right at the 45. And they need one more yard for the first down. Stack die behind Dean Borders. We'll set the offense here when we can. Bruno Abatessa is the center. All right, handoff to the tailback. Oh, first down easily, and all the way into the Peabody zone. That's Andreas. Andreas was the tailback, and just followed the blocking right over center.
A lot of times in that stack eye, you got two tight ends, and you got what's a balanced offense. So a lot of times a quarterback will have a choice, go right or left, depending on how the defense lines up.
All right, so it's first and 10 for the Danvers Falcons, and they're midway between the hash marks with a wing to the left and a wide out to the right, one running back in the backfield. And that is Andreas, gets the handoff, and he starts to go up the middle, cuts it outside, takes a hit, and still holds on, but maybe a yard to the 48. He was pummeled several times and stayed up and still managed to get 1 yard, second and 9.
I don't know if it's designed to cut back, but he received the ball on the right side and cut it back to the left side. I don't know if that's planned or he just reads the open area.
Mm-hmm. You call that a bounce out sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, around off tackle.
All right, Andreas is, I think, split out to this side, to the wide right, with Dean Borders, the quarterback. He's got the eye behind him with a fullback and a tailback. Play action. Borders rolling to his right. Plenty of time. He might run with it. He does. He cuts it back upfield, and he stopped at the 44.
Well, he really didn't have any receiver open, so he had no choice.
He gets it to the Peabody 44-yard line, so that's a 4-yard gain, and now it'll be 3rd and 5.
Good coverage by Peabody, and Peabody's playing a 5-2 defense and 4-deep secondary.
All right, we're just underway as let's try to set the offense for you. Bruno Abatessa is the center. Cole Johnson, Kyle Purcell, the guards. Red Anderson, Jack Ackerley are the tackles on offense. Dean Borders, the quarterback. Quinn Holland is back in action, and I don't see him out there at the moment. And right now, Andreas is the tailback. No, Andreas is in motion, and he gets the handoff, and it's going to be close to the first down. Stop at the 40. What's the number of the carrier? Yeah, it's Andreas. So it's fourth down.
Fourth and 2. From the 41-yard line.
Yeah, let's see what they do here. Do they choose to go for it? Or?
Well, yeah, with their offense, I would think. You take a timeout? Nope.
No.
Still running. Down to 7 minutes, first quarter, no score. Again, another game coming up tonight on MSO Radio. It will be Beverly at Lynn Classical. That'll be a 7 o'clock game. And now there's a timeout. And that will be for the Falcons.
I wonder if he's having second thoughts or certainly want to call a play that's going to work.
I think Matt Reedy, Matt Reedy is the other running back receiver, and Andreas gets the 30-second timeout, Coach, when just the quarterback goes over there.
Right.
So we get right back to the line of scrimmage, and it's fourth and 2 for the Falcons. They will go for it. They've got the power eye formation now set up behind Andreas. Stacked eye. Quinn Holland is the fullback up front. Long count, handoff to the tailback. No, it's a keeper. And it's complete on the play action. First down, down to the 25-yard line.
You know, kind of a risky play, but they accomplished it.
That's Zach Dillon, tight end, with the reception.
So what happens is if the secondary doesn't read their keys, what they did is they faked the run off tackle, and the secondary's got to look at that tight end. If he releases, it's a pass.
Well, that's all the way down to the Peabody 26 is where they put it. So that's a 15-yard gain on fourth down. And the Falcons continue the drive, starting at their own 36-yard line. This will be the eighth play of the drive. First and 10 on the near hash mark. Now they've got the field spread in the spread. Shotgun formation. Borders gets the direct snap, goes straight forward for a couple of yards to the 24.
You know, a lot of timing with that play. They put a man in motion, fake the jet to him, and then the quarterback I'm not sure if it's an option, whether he gives it or not, or keeps it.
We will have live streaming video tonight. Alex Sanfilippo setting up for us under the umbrella, and I don't know if we can keep it if we get wind and rain, but we'll try it. We're going to try to do that. This time, Andreas is split way out to the left with one running back in the backfield for Andreas on the near hash mark. It's 2nd and 7, Falcons at the 23-yard line of Peabody. Pop pass to the left, complete to Andreas. He's hit right as he catches the ball for a short gain.
Well, that's a timing pass. It's just a quick slant. Like about a three-step drop pass.
Yep, it's to the 21, so it's a 2-yard gain, and it will be 3rd down and 5 for the Falcons. And again, they have had the ball since the outset. This will be the 10th play of the drive, down to 5.5 minutes left to go in the first quarter. Looks nasty out there, doesn't it? Those clouds coming in from the southeast. Ew. So here we go, 3rd down, and again, shotgun with a man in the backfield with Dean Borders, the quarterback. Andreas in motion. Fake handoff, kept by Borders, rolling to his left. He's got first down yardage and more. Hurdles a tackler, goes across the 15, down to 10.
Well, nice play, nice call. Looked like a trap out there where they faked the jet sweep this way, and then the quarterback kept it and took it off tackle to the left.
Ball goes to the 11-yard line, so it's a 10-yard gain for Dean Borders, and it's 1st and 10 from the 11.
Basically what Danvers did against Beverly last week, just really worked the ball down the field, take up a lot of time. Not a lot of big plays, but getting first downs.
Such a versatile offense, too. It's got to be hard to defend. Wide out to the right, eye set up behind Borders. Reedy in motion from right to left. Borders hands off, and this is Coakley. He's got a big opening. Oh, and he's rubbed out at about the 7-yard line. Looked like he was going to go in, and he just got slammed on a side tackle. Taj Coakley with the carry.
I think they're trying to work him more into the offense. Put him at tailback on that play, which is different. So he certainly has some talent, and he did play very well against Beverly.
I think he was injured. He's back now tonight. Coakley was on the kickoff return. I think that's the first time we've seen him. Well, it is the first time he's carried the ball. 2nd and 4 for Danvers, and they're at the Peabody 5-yard line. They can get the first down without having to go in, but they're at the 5-yard line, 4 minutes left to go. Coakley will shift over to the left side in the shotgun. Now Coakley running back to his right. Ball midway. It's on the left hash mark. That's probably going to be a motion penalty against Danvers. It is.
Not sure if it was on Coakley. He turned up the field. When you go in motion, you can't turn your shoulders up the field before the ball snapped.
Goes back to the 11. Clock continues to move. It's 2nd down now and 9 for the 1st down, 10 for the touchdown. Two receivers off wide to the right side. Borders with one man behind him. That's got to be Andreas. Now Borders will shift back into the pistol with... No, it's Reedy on his right. Or is it? I don't know. There's a runner on his right anyways. Borders is going to pass. Shoots it. Right side. Knocked down. Intended was Andreas. And it was knocked down by Nolan Murphy.
Good coverage. Dangerous throw.
Why is that dangerous, Paul?
Well, it's to the boundary, and you know, the defender was on his inside shoulder, and you know, if he reads it right and he intercepts it, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no one left.
All right, so now it's 3rd and 9 for the 1st down, 10 for the touchdown again. This time Coakley in motion. Borders rolling to his left, looking left, trying to evade a tackle, and it's intercepted by the Tanners at the 10, return to the 15, to the 20, almost a 25-yard line. See if you can get the number of that back. Jake Doherty, who had such a big game last week, Paul, with the 4 touchdowns, gets the interception, and there you go.
Well, wow. They were on the left hash mark, and they rolled into the boundary or the sideline instead of the wide side of the field. So he really didn't have a lot of room. Plus, he was right-handed, and he was rolling left. And They were coming down on him. He just tried to get rid of it, but sometimes you got to swallow it.
Well, that's a momentum changer for sure, and that's been the Peabody defense lately. Ball is at the Peabody 24-yard line. Matt D'Amato is the quarterback, as Quinn Holland did not jump offside on defense. Almost did. I thought I heard a whistle. Rolling to his right, D'Amato looking upfield. It's overthrown at the 45-yard line. Oh, my word. That was...
it's like the tight end.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I had it, and I got a brain cramp right here. That is Brandon Muse, had a big game last week as well. And that was the thing that I talked with Danvers coach Sean Terrio about, is this passing game of Peabody.
Right. They showed us last week they can certainly throw the ball and make completions. Wide open. It's one of those ones you kind of flatten it. You know, you try to make sure he was so wide open, you kind of flatten the ball out to make sure he can catch it.
Well, it's incomplete, and that would have been complete out to about the 40-yard line or beyond with lots of running room. Want to pass again? Peabody does. This one, diving catch at the 39-yard line. Whoa! That's Jake Daugherty. He laid it out and got it, brought it in. They'll put it at the 38-yard line.
Boy, Peabody, first two plays, pass plays.
Wow. So that's out to the 38. That is a first down for the Tanners, and they're on the move. Three first downs in the 14-play drive by Danvers that came up empty. And now Matt D'Amato, quarterback. He's got Eric DeMeo is the fullback. Play action and under duress. Look out. Huge sack as D'Amato is driven way back by Kieran Moriarty. I don't know where the forward progress will be, but he was driven back to about the 14-yard line.
Put it to 22.
Wow.
But, oh, my gosh. Well, it was the third pass in a row, and Danvers went man-to-man, so usually when you go man-to-man, you're going to blitz somebody, and he was right in on the quarterback after his fake.
Well, the line of scrimmage was the Peabody 38, and now it's already back to the 22, so we're talking 16-yard sack by Kieran Moriarty. And DeMeo was open out of the backfield very briefly. So now it's second down and 26 to go for the Peabody Tanners. Another big defensive play, this time by Danvers after the Peabody interception. D'Amato is under center with two running backs behind him. He's going to roll to his left under duress again. Has to bounce it incomplete looking for Daugherty. That was a screen right that was blown up very quickly by the Danvers D.
Well, what happened is he was rolling to his left and wanted to throw back to his right, and he didn't get his feet set.
So, well, he was so running for his life, too. The guy was on him.
Yeah. Well, it's so hard to throw a ball accurately with your feet moving. You know, you really want to get your feet set. And good call. They only had one defender out there if he had ever completed it because they had a couple of blockers in front of him.
Larry Bird could throw the ball with his feet moving. It was easy for him. I don't know how tough it is. Third down and 26 for Peabody. All right, they got the offset eye this time. And we'll have a timeout for Danvers there, second. So, interesting start, Paul, to this
right,
game.
Right, yeah. I mean, look at how long Danvers had possession, and then they get down there. And
Falcons had the ball for about 9 minutes, and they had the ball for 14 plays, starting at their own 36. Interception with Danvers at their own 11, throwing the ball. And now the Peabody Tanners, on a big 14-yard completion, were able to get the ball out to 38, but that huge sack by Kieran Moriarty pushed them all the way back to the 22. So now it's third and 26 with the timeout.
Well, one of the things you dread is, like, especially if you're an offensive player, is Danvers controlling the ball for that much time. And, you know, you get an opportunity and you don't get a first down and you got to punt the ball and you say, oh, my gosh, are they going to keep it another 8 minutes or 7 minutes? So it's important that... you know, PB keeps possession of the ball, too. Even if you don't score, at least give your defense some rest.
Well, third and 26, so you have a lot of plays for that. We are streaming live video right now, though, by the way. Thanks, Alex. Alex Sanfilippo, our streamographer.
I used to run fullback trap.
Fullback trap. And
sometimes get it.
Well, name some of your fullbacks, Paul.
That's some good ones.
Might have something to do with it, maybe. I don't know. All right, third and 26 for Peabody, midway between the hash marks, moving from right to left. Again, the offset eye. Pitch to the tailback. Rolling to his right is
Freeman.
Yeah, Friedman gets it out to the 39 or 40. I'm sorry, to the 29 or 30, and Peabody will have to punt. Yep, that was Noah Friedman.
Well, he's a kid that can, you know, he's the speedster on the team.
So he gets eight, or let's see, make it seven. He gets it to the 29. So a net of five for Peabody on that drive. 54 yards for Danvers on its first drive. So the clock moving just inside a minute with no score in this one. No game tomorrow. And TBA for next week with the playoffs. Low snap. And it's going to be a short kick. Going to hit at the 45-yard line of Danvers. Gets a forward roll for Peabody and rolls down to the 39.
Ball will be down to the 39-yard line of Danvers.
41 seconds left to go. First quarter, no score. Danvers starts over at their own 39. Previous drive was from their own 36. You got any read on the playoffs? You know, it's...
Well, I thought the Gloucester Times had a good article this morning about the playoffs. It's Nick Kukuru. It appears that, not sure the outcome of this game, but it appears that like Gloucester will probably play Melrose or Wakefield.
Mm-hmm. Neither is a good prospect, I would think. Handoff run play on the up back for a couple of yards for Danvers. Maybe even more than that, maybe about five. Let's see who the carrier is. Was it Coakley? Who carried the ball? Yeah. Well, you can do what you need. Well, it's about a five. We'll give it to Coakley, but it's about a five-yard gain to the 43. Make it a four-yard gain, second and six. As a quick pass. It's complete to the big guy, Moriarty. First down and more. Takes about seven Tanners to bring him down at the Peabody 45.
It appears when Danvers puts two receivers to one side split out, the secondary really rotates over, and the lone corner on the other side is playing outside, and it really gives you the pop pass.
And that is the end of the first quarter. And so just like that, one quarter is down, no score from Danvers High School between Peabody and Danvers. We'll be back.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your place. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your place.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're right back to start the second quarter. No score. Danvers is at the Peabody 45-yard line, midway between the hash marks. And there's the I formation stacked up behind quarterback quarters. He's going to give it to Andreas, the tailback. Big hole right side, plowing through, still moving forward, and gets it out to the down to the 35-yard line. 10 yards, first down. Big power run by Andreas. Got the big hole on the right, then he carried some tacklers with him for the first down to the Peabody 35. And once again, Danvers on the march. They had one, two, three first downs in their first drive, getting it all the way down to the 5-yard line before they were pushed back, and then the interception came about. Interception by Daugherty. Once again, full house eye behind Borders. Once again, handoff to Andreas, left side. This time he stopped at the line of scrimmage on an excellent defensive play by Francisco Mendoza, linebacker.
Kind of tells me, based on the last two plays, that Danvers is saying, well, I think our offensive line is better than your defensive line. We're going to run it at you. But in that stack eye, you're limited to plays.
1 yard loss to the 36. Don't say that very often when Andreas has it. Andreas is the tailback in that stacked eye. Tight formation. Long count. Everybody up at the line of scrimmage. Hand off to Andreas. Right side again. And there's a big hole. Gets it down to the 30-yard line. About a 6-yard gain.
The other thing is, too, generally ask the kids, you know, which defensive end seems like the weakest, which one's the strongest. And you try to run at that weaker player. I used to ask the kids and say, you know, which kid is trappable, which kid is, you know, seems to be the guy you can kick out of control.
Well, there's that power formation again. Stacked eye at the 30. It's third and five for Peabody. Rolling from right to left. Counterplay, play action. Borders puts the brakes on, stops. He's going to be sacked back at the 20. Check it, at the 34. Nobody open.
Well, the thing is, Rick, he's on the right hash mark, and he rolled right, so you're restricted in the amount of field that you have to run your pass route. So a lot of times you want to go to the open side of the field where the kids can certainly have more space to run their pass routes.
Mm-hmm. Seven carries, 27 yards for Andreas so far. Fourth down now, fourth and nine for Danvers. This time they've got the shotgun. Twins to the right, one receiver to the left. It is on the far hash mark, and PBD moving from right to left. Straight back to pass, Borders, rolling to his right, shoots it, complete, I think, at the 25-yard line, right at the marker, first down. Who caught that?
First down.
I think it was Andreas.
Is it Andreas?
I believe so. Well, he, good route. What he did is he just ran to the, usually run about a yard or two beyond
the marker.
And then you come back to the ball. You don't want to stand still there. You want to come always back to the ball.
I don't know if that was Andreas, but I guess we'll have, I thought it was Zach Turner, number 15. But it is a first down no matter what, and is at the 25 of Peabody. It's 11-yard gain. 7:48 left to go, no score. 7:48 left to go in a half. And this time, Andreas is hit as he's given the ball. Wow. Nothing there. Lose another yard, back to the 26. Seven carries, 26 yards for Andreas. But Danvers just chewing up the clock. One possession so far in this game for Peabody. They've had five plays. And up to this point, Danvers has had 22 plays. Clock rolling.
It's disheartening.
Pardon?
It's disheartening. You know,
when you're on defense?
Yeah, when you feel like you can't stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get the ball, you feel like you got to do something with it because you're not going to get another opportunity for quarterback.
Borders, steps, shoots it. Timing play, Coakley right side. Incomplete, thrown out of bounds. And Coakley was covered pretty nicely by Nolan Murphy, who's made a couple of good plays on defense.
Seemed like he had trouble picking up the ball because he kept going and the ball was
twisting,
short.
But another good defensive play by Murphy. Stops the clock, of course. Third down, 11 to go for the first down. Peabody starting this drive back at their own 39. And now they're at the Danvers 26. Getting darker here, but no rain so far. He probably shouldn't have said that. A little bit of a breeze into the face of the Falcons. He's in shotgun as Borders. He's going to roll to his right, look right, come back left. Gets it to Andreas. He is hit, breaks a tackle in the backfield, gets it out to the across the 25, short of the first down. But he did break the tackle. Looked like Darty had him. Could have been a big loss. Turns into a little bit of a gain. It was Gutierrez who first hit Andreas. But it'll be fourth down. So the ball is at the 21-yard line of Peabody. 5-yard gain. And now we're talking a fourth down again. They've successfully moved a couple of first downs, fourth downs tonight into first downs. Coakley will go out to the right side. He'll be in the slot. He's going to split out to the right with Andreas in the slot. Shotgun for Dean Borders. We did set the line. We didn't set the defense. Long count. Borders rolling to his right, looking for the receiver. Throws it. Incomplete. Looking for Andreas at the 15. They go right to the yard marker, but that was defended nicely. And
Well, they just run the wide man. It runs the corner off, and then the inside, which was Andreas, runs like a square out. But they've seen it before, I'll tell you. They've run that play three times.
So 94 yards offense up to this point for Danvers with no scoring yet. 5:55 left to go. And Canners take it over at their own 21. D'Amato is the quarterback. Wing to the left with the eye, two-man eye behind D'Amato on a long count. He's going to hand it off to the tailback, and that is Noah Friedman, who gets about five to the 25. Maybe the 26. No, I'm going to put it right at the 25.
DeMeo has been so impressive the last 2 weeks mm-hmm. that we've seen. I don't think he's touched the ball yet, Rick.
Not on offense.
Not on offense.
Well, they've only
the ball quite a few times,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is their seventh play coming up in this first half. Second and six for Peabody, and they're at their own 26, rolling from left to right. And this is a run. I think it's Friedman with it. Ooh, and he's clobbered, knocked down after a short gain. It is Friedman. Oof, that hurts. That's one when you just wrapped him up and then drove him into the ground. All right, the ball is at the 20, almost the 29. So it's third down and a long two or a short three, as our PA announcer, Sean Doherty, is telling us. Can't get over how nice that high school looks, Paul. God, beautiful, isn't it? Jeez, it's right behind the Danvers bench. So it's third and two, and D'Amato has two receivers to the left with Doherty in motion from right to left. And it's a handoff to Friedman. Nothing there. I think it's Friedman. Yeah. Nothing. It'll be fourth down. No game.
No.
Oh, no, it's DeMeo.
DeMeo.
Yeah, DeMeo gets the carry for the first time tonight. Gets nothing.
Last week I got down close to the field when Danvers played Beverly, and defensively they're not big at all, but mm-hmm. boy, they do play tough. You know, generally speaking, you want your quicker players, not size really is mm-hmm. first priority. It's speed and quickness on defense.
Well, they gave him a yard to the 30. That'll be fourth and one. But Peabody's not having any of it. They're going to punt.
Danvers are not putting anybody back either.
No, they don't have anybody back, so they're going to try to draw them off. Nope, it's a running punt. And this is going to hit at the Peabody 37, bounces back to the 40 where it's down there.
Punting is hard enough, especially in high school football, let alone trying to do it on the run.
All right, so it'll be another possession for the Falcons, and they'll start at their own 40.
It's interesting they didn't put anybody back. Not sure if they wanted a block. A lot of times if you don't, you got a punt block on and everybody's going.
Mm-hmm. No score on this one, and just checking out some stuff here. 3:36 left to go in the first half. And now Dean Borders is in the shotgun, or the pistol. He's got a running back with him. The wideouts on both sides. And there's a timing play on the handoff to the end around. There he goes! Andreas breaks it, and he's dragged down as he broke across the 50 to the 40, almost to the 42-yard line. Looked like he was dragged down by Friedman. Well, otherwise, he was gone.
That's the jet. And the jet is where you send a guy in motion flat across the line of scrimmage, and you give him the ball at top speed, and you really only block people from the tackle out to the sideline. You don't need to block anybody over the guard or center. He's going to outrun them. And if you get a few blocks on the outside, it's tough to stop. Actually, the Patriots have been running that with Edelman a little bit now.
Well, I'm surprised he got caught from behind. That was a surprise. First and 10 after the 19-yard gain. First and 10, Danvers at the Peabody 41. Here's a timing play out to the left side. Coakley gets under it, and he's going to score! He caught it at the 15 and broke away for the touchdown. Launched that with a high arc, and Coakley ran to get it. Touchdown, Danvers.
That was a hitch and go, so the quarterback gives a pump fake, and the receiver takes about three steps, stops, and you try to suck the secondary up, and then he takes off, and They set it up very well. He was open.
So Danvers gets on the board first with 2:49 left to go in the half. And that is a 41-yard touchdown from Borders to Coakley. And that's a really quick two-play, 60-yard drive. All right, they'll go for the single point. And Zebek boots it with plenty to spare for the extra point. It's 7-0 Danvers. All right, so with that score 7-0, we'll take a break with 2:49 left to go in this first half.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, Danvers leading 7-0, and statistics are beginning to tell a story, Paul. 154 yards in this first half for the Danvers Falcons and 14 for Peabody. And let me see. Peabody has the one first down. That's it.
Well, it's just, you know, using up all your downs and just getting first downs. And it's very discouraging for the defense. They're on the field a long time, and it's even more discouraging for the offense because you just feel like, if we don't do something with the ball, we're not going to see it again.
8 carries, 45 yards for Andreas here in this first half, and I think he needs about 100 or less than that for 1,000.
I think the Bruce Rich is calling the plays for Danvers. Bruce was the head coach at Chelmsford High School for many years, took over for Tommy Cato, an excellent coach, and I believe his son is down here, and he's working here now.
Nice to have those head coaches as assistants.
Oh,
huh?
He's a great coach.
All right, so the Falcons will kick it off. This is going to be a high end-over-end short kick. That's muffed, kicked around, and I think Peabody recovers it at their 30-yard line. And they do. And it is recovered by Pat McGuire. He's a senior, 5'10", 170, and he was alert to it. That thing bounced around like a pinball. And maybe that was the intent, high kick to a short receiver, an upfield receiver. 2:44 in the half. Now the Tanners need to get some offense going because they got nothing so far. And they'll start at their own 30. So far they started at their 24, their 21. So this is the best field position Peabody's had tonight, starting at their own 30. First and 10, and it is DeMail in the shotgun this time. Ooh, running back lean, but he got back in position as everybody reset. So there's no stoppage in play. DeMail fires it short. I think it's incomplete at the intended at the 35 rather. And
well, they've kind of gone to the spread offense here and see if they can throw the ball successfully.
Tyler Rotundo was the intended receiver on that one. He's a senior, 5'10", 180. So it is a second and 10 as a result of that incompletion. Started out pretty promising with a 14-yard pass completion to Daugherty early on, but that's been it. So now it's second and 10. Blitzing. Falcons coming after the quarterback, and D'Amato is able to squirt away and throws the ball away. Good job by D'Amato just to get rid of it before he was sacked way back.
A lot of times when you have that spread formation and the defense kind of knows you're going to throw from it, they can really tee off with your defensive ends and your tackles, nose man. It's not like they have to worry about the run.
Cam Powers, the center, Dan Smith, Mike Walk, the guards, David Pence, Randy Remus, the tackles up front. Matt D'Amato is the quarterback in the backfield. He's got a blocker with him. Also has a man in motion. It's going to be a run play to the motion man. Trying to cut it outside. Gets a couple close to the 35-yard line. That was Cedric Gutierrez, one of the captains, with the carry.
So Danvers calls a timeout and see if they can get the ball back with some time left because it's punting situation. See if they put somebody back this time.
Oh, that's a four-yard gain. Just not going to do it for the Tanners. With the fourth and six, I'm going to poke my head out here. And a terrific crowd, given the time of the start of the game and the weather forecast. Great crowd. Ball is at the 34, so it was a four-yard gain, making it fourth down and six.
Still nobody back.
Isn't that something, huh? All right, let's see if they're going to go after it. Punt is a good line drive that's going to get a forward roll at the 35-yard line and roll all the way inside the 20 near the 15. Wow. Touchdown at the 16. What do you say about that, Paul?
I don't understand the logic behind it. I mean, the ball must have gone 20 yards further because there's no one there to stop it. And
yeah.
You know, at least stop the ball, even if you're not going to return it.
As Sean Daugherty just said, it's a 50-yard punt. And that's, I guess, if your offense isn't going very well, that's helpful. So 18 yards total offense for Peabody through this first half, and 154 so far for Danvers. They've got the ball again. And this time they'll start at their own 16. 2:11 left to go in the half, 7-0. Only score, Borders to Coakley, covering 41 yards. Borders the quarterback. There is a terrific glare in here. Can't write with the lights off, and you can't see with the lights on. So this is a handoff, and Andreas tackled in the backfield. Back to the, well, they're going to give him the line of scrimmage. No, it's back to the 11, I think. About a 5-yard loss.
It's not bad field position for Peabody. I mean, if they call timeouts, not only did the ball roll, but now it's so far back in Danvers territory that if Peabody calls timeout mm-hmm. and gets the ball back, there should be some time on the clock.
That's the third negative yardage run for Matt Andreas. I've never heard that. This is like an alternate universe. So Peabody, would you say they're keying on him when he gets the ball or something like that?
Well, I would say that you know, a lot of times you want to take away their best player, and he's obviously their best player. So, yeah, you're right. You can key on him.
Wow.
Let somebody else beat you.
Well, they got other weapons. And
right.
Once the other weapons heat up, then
but then you
go back
put it all on the mm-hmm. shoulders of those other kids mm-hmm. who aren't used to it.
Well, it's second and 14. Ball is at the 11 or 12. And play action. Border shoots it out to the right. It's caught by Andreas. They may be shutting him down on the run. Oh, is it 18? So that's Reedy. And he'll get it to the 34, first down. Would you say 18? So that will be a first down. And that's out to the 32. So that's a 21-yard gain. Nice pass by Borders to Reedy.
That was a nice throw.
Matt Reedy is a junior. And the clock stops with 1:51 left to go. And you get out of bounds. First and 10 on the far hash mark. Ball is they put it at the 33. So it's 25. I'll get it right in a minute. 21 yards. Another pass. This one is complete. Short pass to the 40, to the 45. Run after catch. Quinn Holland with a catch. We're so far away from the field, I can't see it. Another first down to the 45, 13 yards. So,
well, that's what you're going to see with all these new stadiums. They're going to put in 8-lane tracks in front of between the field and the stand. So,
and we're low too.
You're a lot further.
Yeah, we're low to the field, so there's a lot of traffic between us and the numbers, and it's way far away from me. With my old man eyes. First and 10. Ball is at the Danvers 45. Remember, they were at that 11 just a couple of seconds ago. They're already out to the 45. Quarterback keeper. Border season open. There he goes. 45. 40. Down the sidelines. 20. See you later. Touchdown. Borders keeper. And there's that other weapon. And it's now 13-0 Danvers. 55-yard run for Dean Borders.
I think there's a penalty after the score for celebration.
I don't like that.
He's fast, huh?
He
broke that line of scrimmage, outran everybody.
He just went off tackle. Is that something that he could do with line of scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, it's they spread him out, and then he looks for a gap.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was just over right guard.
Because I was asking...
A lot of times you won't block the tackle, and you'll just block the linebacker, and you're gone.
Well, I was asking Coach Terrio about the freedom that a quarterback has in high school and changing the play, and he said he's got a certain leeway there that
sure.
he can do.
Yeah.
And if he recognizes certain things, then he can do it. All right, so we'll look for the extra point, and it'll be Dave Zebick, Mr. Reliable for Danvers. He'll kick about a 60-yarder here for the 15-yard extra point, or the 20-yard extra point. And low snap, but there's the good kick. So it's 14-0. Now, for Danvers, another short time of possession, four plays, and this time 55 yards. And it is rapidly getting out of control here for Peabody on defense. 209 yards of offense for Peabody in this first half, and a total of 18 for Peabody, with just the one first down, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, to fall two touchdowns behind, especially with the field position. I mean, Danvers went about 90 yards or so.
Yep.
And because they just have nothing on offense, Peabody, really.
Well, you're right. I read that wrong, because this the play began at their own 16, so it's an 84-yard touchdown drive. I had it down as 55, but it's 84. So I got to add another 30 yards to this thing. 238 yards of offense right now.
So now Danvers kicks off from the 25. And if Peabody gets a good return, it's still a minute 30, but they got to come up with something offensively.
Well, as both coaches were saying, you got to play the full 44 minutes. So, big hole now for Peabody, 14-0. Danvers just continuing on their winning ways, and at least to this point, on a roll offensively. Short, high kick once again. This time, DeMail lets it go, picks it up on the bounce at the 40, returns it to the 45, breaks the tackle, gets it close to the 50, out of bounds at about the 48. So DeMail this time with the short hands.
Okay, there's time here. Let's see what they do.
Yep, minute and 26 left to go in the first half. 14-0 for Danvers.
It's raining now, Rick.
Oh, man, is it raining. The sky's just opened up, and again, we'll bring you the video as long as we can. But if the wind kicks up, we got to protect that camera, Alex. We're safely indoors, but everybody's scrambling for covers. I mean, it just started pouring all of a sudden. And that will change the complexion of the game as well. First and 10 for Peabody, and they are at their own 48-yard line. Desperately in need of a score. Back to pass. D'Amato shoots it complete to the 44-yard line. Use with the catch.
Still in bounds.
Well.
So the clock's running.
Yep, clock is moving. It's at 109. The ball is at the... It was a short gain, about 6 yards, to the 46 of Danvers.
Sometimes you call two plays in the huddle and you run that play, and if it's successful, you just get right up and run the second play.
So it is a second and 4 after the 6-yard gain. Back to pass, D'Amato. Looking, over the middle, wide open, caught! By Doherty, he may break it! He's down to the 5 and caught from behind at the 4. Coakley catches him on a terrific defensive play. After the terrific offensive play, Coakley puts his team in scoring zone now, down at the 3. Wow. Not Coakley, excuse me. Coakley makes the tackle. It's Doherty. Doherty with the catch and run. And it'll be a timeout for the Peabody Tanners. They put it at the 4.
Rick, can you see how many timeouts Peabody has left?
No, they don't have that up there.
Okay.
And I didn't keep track because I was looking at the board thinking it would be up there. They got 0 for both, but I don't think that's right.
Well, it might be. So, depending upon how many timeouts, you're probably going to call a couple plays.
Well, they got more.
As you can.
They got more yardage on that play. They got almost three times as much yardage on that one play as they've had all night. So 42 seconds left, and this would be a big game changer for PB at this point.
Certainly would.
Got to do a world of good for their confidence if they get in. That hasn't happened yet. Again, the umbrellas are out. Wow, look at all the umbrellas. People come here prepared. Alex Sanfilippo sitting under the umbrella outside. He's our streamographer tonight, doing his usually awesome job. First and goal now for Peabody. They're still on the near sideline, as you can see, huddling over with Coach Betancourt, who's got his shorts on and his hoodie. So there they go. Tanner's now first and goal at the four. This is a place you might expect Friedman or DeMeo to get it. DeMeo's the upback, the fullback. Friedman is the tailback with a wing to the right. That's Doherty. First and goal. 42 seconds left. Plenty of time. Hand off to the first back, DeMeo. I don't know where he went, but I guess he got it close.
It was a dive.
Yeah.
Faked the quick pitch to the tailback and gave the ball to the fullback.
Mm-hmm.
And
where is it? Is that the two?
Two.
Is that the two? So it's a two-yard gain. Clock has stopped again with 36 seconds left. So it's second and goal from the two. Rain has let up considerably. Man, that was weird. It just opened up out of nowhere, come pouring. So the umbrellas are out, and you can see the rain and the lights on the video. D'Amato runs back into the huddle now. Second and goal. Falcons, of course, with everybody up at the line of scrimmage. Maybe one or two guys off. The linebacker is up close. And there's the eye once again with DeMeo, the upback. He's the fullback. Tailback, Friedman. Hand off to the tailback, Friedman. He's going to pick his way. And I don't think he gets there. He does not. He's just shy. Clock moving. And now it stops with the timeout for Peabody.
Well, he got stood up. You know, if he'd gotten his shoulders down, he might have got in, but he got stood up, and once you get straight up, you lose all your momentum. Yeah, close.
Big defensive stop by Danvers. And 25 seconds left, and rain pouring once again now, coming down heavily, and that's what was predicted. And again, we've got another game scheduled for over in Manning Field and Lynn tonight, with Beverly at Lynn Classical, and Bill Newell and Tim Kern setting up for that one. That game is a 7 o'clock start. Bill Newell telling me that Andreas needs 97 yards tonight to get to 1,000, and he's got 8 touchdowns. But that's on offense. We'll get to that later on. Right now,
still have the tight formation,
yep.
But I don't know if they're going to go inside or outside.
All right, let's watch. D'Amato under center. He's pushed forward, and he goes in for the score.
All right, good call. Quarterback sneak.
D'Amato with the touchdown, and the lead is now cut to 14-6.
Generally, what you do is you take your offensive lineman and go shoot a shoe, and then you have a hole that you're going to go off of, and everybody forms a wedge off that down lineman.
So D'Amato engineering that drive with the big 42-yard completion of Jake Doherty and then scoring from 1 yard out on the keeper. And for Peabody, that's 5 plays and 52 yards with 21 seconds left to go. Now let's see if D'Amato can put this thing through and cut it to 7. Remember, it's really slippery out there right now, as you can see. And everything looks good. D'Amato puts it through. It's 14-7. Well, two good kickers in this game, Coach.
Yeah, it is. The kicking game, especially the extra points, is snaps are good, the holders are good, and the kickers are good. And the blocking's fine.
Well, I got something cooking here now, huh, Coach?
Yeah, that was big for, in a way, I guess if Dan was going to score, that second touchdown, they scored in a hurry. So
uh-huh.
It gave,
well, that was a big
gave
turnaround.
PBD the opportunity, but that pass play, they didn't get any pressure on the quarterback, D'Amato, and he found the open receiver and threw a nice ball.
Well, let's see here now. 21 seconds left to go with the rain coming down. And, again, Matt Andreas shut down offensively tonight from the ground, but big in the air. And touchdowns, we'll recap that for you in a second here. It was Borders to Coakley. That was a 41-yarder back in the first quarter. The opening of this. No, it wasn't. It's late in the half. I'm looking at this now, and I didn't realize, but Danvers has scored two touchdowns within a minute and 18 seconds of scoreboard time. And, again, Coakley with one of them, and Dean Borders with the other one. So this one is muffed. Coakley loses it, goes back, and loses it again, and he's buried inside his five-yard line. Oh, my, that was almost disaster for Danvers. They can run the clock out now, but wow, coach.
Well, what happened is he ran back, he missed it, and he ran back, and he went to pick it up, but he put his head up to see where they were, and then he couldn't find the ball with his hands, and he got hit. And you're fortunate to get that ball back.
Well, I wonder now if the the rain is being involved here with vision and so on. We do have a bit of a breeze, and the wind is blowing into the face of the Falcons, and it's coming in here, too. We're going to have to move the computer back a little bit. Can't get the gear wet. All right, 15 seconds left. Let's see if Danvers takes the knee. They do, and that will run out the clock. So there you go, 14-7. Danvers leading, but Peabody with a big surge very late in this first half. 14-7, we'll take a break, come back with some halftime chatter, and maybe a guest or two. You're listening to MSO News Sports.
The band is led by senior drum major Jessica Lucci, Mary Burns,
and high school football, 14-7, Peabody over Danvers.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
MSO Newsports.com. MSO Radio.
All right, back at the half, my pleasure to bring on Anne-Marie Tobin of the Daily Item, and I'm interrupting. This is the time when you put your stats together, so I hope you don't mind.
That's okay. Happy to be here.
Great, great. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and Anne-Marie Tobin of the Item is here. And Anne-Marie, we were talking before the game started, and your experience in journalism is kind of amazing, and I don't know if we want to go all the way back and refer to all that, but the difference between, and we'll talk about the game here in a minute, but the difference between sports reporting when I was in high school and now, I think in high school we had, wait a minute, do you remember girls sports when it was, we're talking about girls sports here, when basketball...
2-2-2.
Yeah, you had three girls on one side, three on the other, right?
No,
on the half
court. 2-2-2. Two had to stay in the backcourt. Two were called rovers. They could go full length.
Okay.
And two were limited to the offensive zone. Six players on a team.
So one of the things I do want you to mention is your career in journalism. Tell me a little bit about your background. I haven't had a chance to meet you and talk with you before, and I'd like to know how you got where you are.
Well, I worked for a long time. I had a law practice. Private practice specializing in not-for-profit, tax-exempt organizations. And gradually my daughter became a high schooler, and one of the teams wasn't being featured in our local paper. And one of the captain's mothers asked me if I would submit some information, because at the time I was writing freelance for North Shore Golf Magazine.
And you must know Gary Larrabee.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Gary and I go way back. We call him Scoop. I kind of backed into it. Eventually I started, the editor of the Golf Magazine happened to be the editor of the Linfield Weekly News Sports, and so I kind of fell into it. Did some freelancing and had an opportunity about almost 3 years ago to take over as sports editor of the weeklies. And about a year ago, February, that the weeklies were purchased by Essex Media Group, the mm-hmm. folks who own the Lynn Item.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, working with Steve Krause. It's
okay, now, does Steve send you on, where does he send you? What are your assignments usually?
Well, I cover Peabody football. I've been covering Peabody for 3 years now,
mm-hmm.
all of Mark Betancourt's, his fourth year. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We do everything, as you know, from Little League Baseball.
Absolutely.
To, you know, if we have a Linfield kid who happens to be playing on the Montreal Canadiens, I might get sent to the Garden for a game.
Ooh, I envy you that. Well, maybe not the Canadiens. Yeah. It's interesting, too, that at the Item now, with Ted Grant and Paul Halloran and Steve Krause, all three of those guys are sports guys.
They're sports guys, absolutely. Ted got a start, you know, in sports. Paul's just a sports nut. I see between Paul and his wife, Julie, you know, it's probably twice a week I see them officiating a game. They're real
mm-hmm.
sports enthusiasts.
What do you like most about covering high school sports, and maybe Peabody in particular? I mean, Coach Betancourt, I'm just so impressed with the job that he's done coming from baseball and just immersing himself into football, and also the job, the fantastic story with Doug Santos that comes from the Betancourt family. That's got to be good stuff.
It's very good stuff. Every once in a while, the Santos story in particular was just a tremendous story. And for him, he literally was sitting on pins and needles waiting for his paperwork to go through.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't take too long for Dougie. He was the only freshman running back kept at Assumption. Everybody else was redshirted. He's had his chances. He actually, I think, had a 94-yard game. But Mark is special. Mark and Lauren are very special. Mark's big thing is it's all about pride. When he was a student at Peabody High, he was proud to wear the colors of Peabody. And that went away in football for a while. You know, they had their struggles. And when Mark came along, you know, his first year he won only three games. They were plagued, kind of reminded me of tonight, by big plays. They couldn't stay away from getting stung by big plays. But, you know, he hung in there. He obviously, Doug was a big factor. You know, the following year, they could have beaten Everett. It was an epic game,
54-42. Oh, yeah. That was a great game.
Great game over at Everett. And last year, of course, they gave it away.
Oh.
They had that game. All they needed was 3 yards, and the game was there.
Well, the thing is, I'm watching Everett, and honest to God, I mean, they got 11 guys they can put in on offense. And wait, take the 11 out, put another 11 in offense.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? and they don't lose anything. And then the play at the end of the game, it's just the schoolyard football. Just, okay, whatever you want to do with you guys, just go throw it, touchdown. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But Peabody has come a long way, and I'm watching the Danvers band. I'm so impressed with the everything Danvers right now. The high school, the field. I mean, they have this fantastic facility, and of course the new field. It's relatively new over in Peabody as well. High school sports has come a long way.
It's come a long way. It's a lot of fun. I get back to Peabody here. Peabody season this so far has been eerily reminiscent of what happened last year. They started 1-3. They beat up on classical and English to, you know, get back to 500 and at 3-3, and then had Danvers come in and one of the biggest wins that they've had last year to get to 4-3 and earn the 4 seed. So I know that Mark has talked about, you know, that obviously is the game plan going forward tonight. You got to look at a couple of plays tonight, as obviously Danvers, those two quick scores, those big long plays. But Peabody, to its credit, played itself right back into it. That pass play that D'Amato to Doherty was a tremendous play. Two unbelievable blocks in the Cedric Gutierrez and Noah Friedman to give Matt D'Amato the time. Matt D'Amato has not had to step up and do too much until this year. And as you know, last week, Peabody shocked everybody by coming out and throwing the ball. That one drive, second quarter, I believe. And they came out tonight the same way. They haven't had the same success yet, but, you know, the pride there is in the defense. The defense, one missed tackle, and that first touchdown doesn't happen. But they played themselves right back into it, that's for sure.
Well, a couple of things for Peabody that are really impressive. Eric Tamayo last year was a blocking back as a sophomore, and he blocked tremendously for Doug Santos. This year he's getting a call, and he can do stuff. He's an athlete. And then Jake Doherty, I mean, you've got a whole bunch of guys here on offense and defense for Peabody who play well. But Doherty and DeMeo in particular, you mentioned D'Amato, have stood out to me as just, it's sort of like work hard, your time will come.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The first game of the year, Peabody came out, they were shocked by Triton. Triton stretched the field for maybe 20 yards. Their roster was so small. Mark learned that night that he had to reassess the two-way play of some of these kids. And I think he's finally found the mix the last 2 weeks to realize that he has some two-way players, but he doesn't have the two-way players he thought he had at the beginning of the year. He knows he has talent in terms of wide receivers. So I'm looking forward to a great second half.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a good one, down by 7. Conversely, Danvers has moved the ball seemingly at will. Little pieces, long drives. I mean, the vast majority of possession is theirs. Number of plays, it's got to be 4-1,
mm-hmm.
And maybe the time of possession the same. But nonetheless, it's still a 7-1 score game.
All right, I'm gonna let you go back and do your work. Thanks, Emery, so much. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Rick.
Anne Marie Tobin of the Daily Item, sitting in here at halftime. The score is 14-7 with Peabody trailing in this one, Danvers leading it, and let's see here, am I caught up? I am caught up. We'll take a very short break and come back with some halftime stats for you, as it is 14-7 here in the rain at Dr. Deering Stadium. We'll be back.
Take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Well, equipment not working quite the way we want it to here, but I think we're back. Are we back? There we go. Yeah, we are. All right, so at the half, it's 14-7. Scoring plays all coming in the second quarter. Danvers struck first. Dean Borders to Josh Coakley that covered 41 yards. Excuse me, Taj Coakley. Josh Coakley is a pilot, former student of mine in the Air Force. This is Taj Coakley, not Josh. 41-yard beauty with that big, long, high arc that Borders put on. A lot of air into that ball, so Coakley could catch up to it. That came at 2:49, finished off a two-play, 60-yard touchdown drive, 7-0. 2:49 left to play in the first half. Danvers strikes again very quickly. Dean Borders on a 55-yard keeper right at the line of scrimmage. She's scampering. Four plays, 84 yards with 1:31 left to go in the half. It's 14-0. Danvers looks like that's where it's going to end. But then D'Amato scoring from 1 yard out.
The penalty was big too, Rick.
Penalty?
Excessive celebration.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that was at the end, yep, yeah. After the touchdown. You are correct. And so that allowed DeMeo to get the kickoff at about the 44-yard line for Peabody. And then the Tanners were able to make a nice completion from quarterback D'Amato to Brandon Muse, and they covered 4 yards. But then it was D'Amato to Jake Daugherty that covered 42 yards, putting him in scoring position. And then they did punch it in a couple plays later with D'Amato scoring from a yard out. PATs are all good tonight, so it's 14-7. Statistically, it is 238 yards of offense for Danvers, 70 yards total offense for Peabody. And Borders leading everybody. He's got 5 carries for 68 yards, and he's 6 out of 9 passing for 86 yards. So he's responsible for 154 yards total offense. And Andrea's pretty much kept in check running the ball, 9 carries for 40 yards.
Yeah, well, just the first game, Borders was sitting out. I think he was injured. And you can see the difference in their offense since he's been back at quarterback. But, just looking at the game, I think Peabody's got to find a way to move the ball other than throw it against Danvers here. Mm. And maybe, with the weather changing, there might be a break here or there, They'll be a little more cautious, certainly, with the quarterback-center exchange. But they made a nice play on that long pass, but I think they've got to get a little bit more consistency running the ball and... Danvers is always a threat. I mean, they're patient, which is good. And, I used to tell the kids, we'll shoot for 3 1/3 yards, but sometimes you're going to break one and get more than that. And I think that's kind of like what Danvers reminds me of is, they're very patient. They try to get first downs, and then all of a sudden they'll break one on you. But Peabody's got a strong defense, and they're making Danvers work, so should be a good second half.
Looks like Matt Williams came in from the rain. Matt came in from the rain. I don't blame you. Matt Williams up here from the Salem News. It's raining pretty heavily out there, and it's a little windy, as you can see. But nice to know that Alex Sanfilippo was under the hood. He's got the camera out there, and we still have the live streaming video. Waiting for both teams to come back. And this was a 5:30 start. And it'll be a 7 o'clock start over at the Manning Field. Beverly is at Lynn Classical. And... again, Paul, this is the last regular season game, and so the playoffs will be set, I presume, on Saturday or Sunday, and then we'll find out where we go next week.
Right. I guess by Monday they'll know.
Mm-hmm.
They got to play tomorrow's games, Saturday's games, and then I don't know if they meet on Sunday. Maybe they meet on Sunday and release it on Monday because the coaches have to get the films. They have to have film exchange. So some of it's done over the Internet, but some of it probably is still done hand-to-hand, So we'll see. And then you probably have an idea a little bit about who you might play. Looking at the Gloucester Times today, it gave a lot of different scenarios. So, with Gloucester, they'll probably play either Wakefield or Melrose. So you might send someone down to watch their game and, see what they look like.
And Wakefield hasn't lost since you and I were up there.
Right. Yeah, that sophomore quarterback, I'll tell you, he was impressive. He came on from game one to game two or game two?
Yeah, he
two
came
to
on,
three.
He was inserted in game one. I think the senior quarterback was hurt in a scrimmage. I can't quite remember. I think it was a scrimmage, but I'm not sure. But nevertheless, it was early, for the sophomore. And he's played great ever since.
Yeah, and I don't know. It should be interesting, but here we go. See how the matchups go, and it's you got to win. You got to win from here on in.
This is a long halftime.
Well, I'll tell you, the weather didn't upset the band. That was excellent.
I know, wasn't that amazing?
Yeah.
They were out there, and it was just incredible. Well, Peabody coming back onto the field now, and so Danvers can't be far behind as we await. The kickoff of the second half should be a really good second half. It was a really good first half. One-sided for the most part, but then Peabody coming on strong. But Danvers will get the ball to open up the second half. I'm going to have to get Get my hat on here, Coach. All right, why don't we take another quick break, and we'll come back for the second half kickoff. Again, at the half, it is 14-7, Danvers leading Peabody.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, rain coming down, as you can see, as Danvers returns to the field. Ann Marie was telling us that Peabody has a total of 12 yards rushing, which means that they've got 58 yards in the air. And I think 44 of those came on the one play to Jake Daugherty. So well, it was one drive and you know, for Peabody to get them back into it.
You know, with Friedman and DeMeo, boy, they've got some talent there. And Danvers so far has taken both of them away. I think the just from watching, you know, Danvers' defense is better than maybe expected. I think they're really playing well on defense.
And again, coming into the game, I believe they had allowed 79 points for the year, which is two fewer than what Peabody has allowed. So both teams with decent defenses, and each team with pretty good offenses. Now the Tanners, I'm sorry, will receive the ball as they deferred in the first half, allowing Danvers to go on offense. And looked like they were going to score, but Daugherty with the interception. So Daugherty, once again, playing lights out.
Just to let everybody know, it's really raining.
It is raining. So our radio listeners will know that it's raining. Our video viewers can see that, I would think. All right, so we're ready to go. And Falcons kicking off from right to left. And let's see here. Peabody in the all-white uniforms. And again, obviously, the weather now could well be a factor in this one. Especially with the passing game, but just holding on to the ball. So here's another high end-over-end short kick that will be received by DeMeo at the 30. Drops it. Picks it up, dangerously runs backwards, back to the 20. He had it at the 30, and he's tackled inside the 25.
Now, big coverage by Danvers. He dropped it, and then he tried to get to the outside, and they contained him.
Now, on the artificial surface, Paul, what does rain do to it?
Not much. It's to the ball, mostly, you know.
Yep.
The fields drain very quickly. Unless it's a deluge, it's really... not
well,
effective.
We may have a deluge here. Peabody at their own 24, first and 10. Matt them out of the quarterback behind Cam Powers, the big center. I set up behind D'Amato. Hand off to Friedman. He's got some blocking on the right side. Maybe to the 27? Excuse
well,
me.
Well, you know, they're going to see if they can move the ball now. Maybe make a few adjustments, see if their blocking scheme should change or... but get some consistency. Otherwise, it's hard to call trick plays all night and expect them to work.
Win at the back of Peabody. As they put it at the... well, it's all the way at the 28. Excuse me. So it's a four-yard gain. I'll have to get a cough drop in a minute here. I got a little bit of a tickle. All right, you got one receiver off to the left. Otherwise, tight formation in the slot. And Peabody jumps. And so we're going to have to bring it back 5 yards.
Yeah, the tailback.
Well, just underway here in this second half. Ball comes back to the 23. On the near hash mark, Peabody moving from left to right. Got the all white on. Danvers with the gray pants and the blue jerseys. I think they're gray pants. All right, there's nothing. Oh, maybe 2 yards to the 25. Daugherty with the carry from the tailback spot.
What they're doing is trying to take DeMeo and block the linebackers. He's like the lead blocker from the I formation, so it's kind of like an ISO block. And the linebacker, when he reads that, he's got to come up and meet him at the line of scrimmage and hold his ground.
Well, now it's third down and 9. They give him 2. Third and 9 for Peabody. at their own 25. And again, it's a tight formation. And it's going to be handoff to Friedman, trying to cut it outside, turn the corner. And he's going to be short of the first down across the 25 to the 20. I'm sorry, the 30 to the 31.
Yeah, Danvers is playing eight men on the line of scrimmage, and the three secondary guys are not far behind him, so.
Well,
I believe they're going to punt.
Yeah, fourth down. It's fourth and looks like the ball is just across the 26, and they need to get it to the 29. Hard to see with the sticks right here in front of us and all the players obscuring us, so we can't really tell. It looks like it's at the 29 where they'd have to go, so they will punt.
Okay, Danvers has somebody back this time.
Was it once bitten, twice shy? So the punt is a good long kick that bounces at the 27, gets a Peabody roll inside the 19. Another really good punt by Rainier Alvarez.
Nice pickup, too. The ball was snapped low, and it skidded, and he got it and got the kickoff with a little bit of pressure.
Well, if that's number 18, it's Alvarez, and he gets a really good kick, putting Danvers back inside the room 25. So 8:15 left to go in the third quarter. Peabody with its first possession. They go the proverbial three and out, and Danvers now will take over with the one touchdown lead. Rain coming into their faces, and they're at their own 19. 8:15 left to go, third quarter. From the Danvers 19, Dean Borders was with that big run. He's been primarily the big gainer through the air and on the ground for Danvers tonight. He's in the shotgun, and he's going to roll to his right and run with it. Borders getting back to the line of scrimmage and maybe a yard more, maybe to the 21.
I tell you, I'd keep him under center and run that quarterback sneak every once in a while.
Well, he only ran 55 yards the other time he used it. One time he used it, 7:53, clock rolling. Now the rain, I think, is probably a light rain, but it's steady. And let's see here. I set up behind Borders under center, as you call it. Tight formation. Nobody split out anywhere midway between the hash. Given to the tailback. I bet that's Andreas to the 25 across to the 26.
No, that's just power football. Off tackle.
Mm-hmm.
The genius with that was Kenny Perrone. He really knew how to run that offense. And boy, if you had a weakness, he'd exploit it.
Six. 10 carries, 45 yards for Andreas. He needs 97 tonight to get to 1,000. And don't write him off, no matter what the weather is. Third and three for Danvers. Far hash mark, moving from right to left at their own 26. Andreas gets the handoff. I don't know. That maybe to the 28.
It's a little short.
Yeah, and he needs to get to the 29.
No, he's calling them up.
Yeah, he got it.
Yeah. That's enough for Davis, first
down. Well, he got it.
They're attacking the Peabody left, defensive left.
So Andreas gets the first down for the Falcons. And up front for Peabody, it's James McCarthy, Cam Powers, Dan Canella, and Brandon Muse. That's a defensive line. Jake Darty, Eric DeMeo, Francesco Mendoza are the linebackers. Once again, tight formation with the eye. On offense for Danvers, first and 10. Handoff to the tailback, over the middle. And breaking away out to the 40. Oh, my. I was looking at the pile, stopped, and Andreas broke it out to the 40-yard line. Another first down. Yikes.
Probably a lot stronger than he looks, you know, just being able to stay up with all those guys on you and then still be able to break it.
Well, I've seen him up close. He looks pretty strong to me. But then I'm a whopping 5'7". I formation, first and 10. Danvers, they're driving again, methodically at the 40. Handoff to Andreas again, and he's going to bring it out to the 46, 47-yard line. And I think, Paul, if you remember in the first time we did Danvers against Winthrop, he was involved in 15 straight plays, 14 of which he carried the ball.
Yeah. Of course, Borders didn't play, and they ran that offense they ran last year where it was kind of a shotgun, and Andreas would just about on every play carry the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're saying that they're physically stronger, and that's why they keep running this. I think it's unbalanced line.
Second and three. They need to get to the 50 for the first down. There's Andreas again, right side this time. First down and more.
Yeah.
All the way down to the 46 of Peabody.
Now, Peabody's got to come up with something.
Another seven for Andreas. Oh, I got a quarter short of that. So it's the 47, not the 46. So it is first down for Danvers with 4:51 left to go. 14-7. Danvers is leading this one. All the scoring coming in the second quarter. Borders to Taj Coakley. Borders on a 55-yarder for the Danvers scores. D'Amato a one-yard plunge for Peabody. There's a stack eye. Guess what? Andreas, right side. Positive yardage to the 42.
Well, they're in a five. Peabody's in a 5-2 defense. There's a couple of things you can do. Is you can bring your safeties up and try to fill the off-tackle hole and meet him at the line of scrimmage. But the risk is if he breaks it, he's gone because there's no one left.
Mm-hmm.
The other is maybe slant the line. They seem to be attacking to the offensive right, defensive left. So maybe slant your line in that direction.
Eighth play of the drive coming up. This one started at the 19. Falcons moving from right to left on this rainy, summerish type night in late October. Handoff, tailback once again. Hit again, and not much this time. Stopped at the 40.
They tried to run left, and wasn't as successful.
Still got two. Yep, so it's third down. And two to go for the first. And now he's starting to rack up the carries and the yardage as well. Third down, two to go for the first down. They need to get it to, well, it looks like it's almost three, but I can't tell where the yard markers are in front of us. Alex Sanfilippo out there in the rain, our streamographer tonight. Thanks, Alex. Third down, stacked eye, tight formation once again. Andreas pushing the pile. Stop. Close. To the first down, but not a whole lot more. Waiting. And it's fourth down. Well, they're going to measure. Somebody called timeout. Now they're going to measure. So the ball is just shy of the, it's just over the 38 of Peabody. In the Peabody zone, their defensive zone. Sticks go out. First measurement of the night. 2:58 left to go, third quarter. Falcons just chewing up the clock again. And he got it. Or do they? Oh.
I thought he was ready to give the
signal. I know.
First down, and then he
should have got the glasses on it. Oh, boy. Hey, you think they'll go for it, Coach?
I expect they will.
This is not an all-star game. 2:58 left to go in the third quarter. And let's see if Borders keeps it or if it's going to be Andreas. All right, right up to the line of scrimmage come the Falcons. Tight formation, shoe to shoe, as Paul would say. And it's fourth and inches. Borders the quarterback. And he gets the first down. I thought he dropped it for a minute, but he just went off tackle left side, got a yard.
Yeah. The right way to run a quarterback sneak is to wait a second to find the opening, not to
just
fall
to the center.
Yeah, if you just follow the center, a lot of times he gets jammed, and then you're stuck right behind him.
Well, I spoke too soon. He didn't get a yard. He got about the inch he needed. Look where the ball is, Paul.
Oh,
look
at the same spot. More than that.
Looks like it's in the same spot. Well, he got the inch anyway. So it's first down. I don't know how to write an inch on here for a game. We'll give him plus one, I guess. First down, handoff, run play. Nothing there. Stopped at the 35. A couple of yards.
Well,
I'm 5 yards off. The ball was at the 37, and now it's at the 35. Was that Andreas again? Is that Andreas?
Yes, it was.
I didn't see it. Okay.
You know, of course, they have a pass play off this, so that's why the secondary has to watch the tight end. The tight end releases. You stay. If he blocks, you come up.
Second down and 7, 3 yards for Andreas. Back to gaining positive yards. He had three plays in the first half where he got negative yards, but that's all been erased. Down to 1.5 minutes left to go, third quarter. Falcons on the march once again. Hand off. Oh, play action. Pass, right side, open, and incomplete at the 13-yard line.
Even more open was the left tight end down the middle of the field. He was wide open.
Looked like it was Moriarty was the intended target, I believe, on that pass. So it's incomplete. It'll be third down and 7. As Borders has 6 out of 10 for 86 yards now, including the one touchdown pass in the ball game. This will be the 11th play of the drive. Check it, 12th play of the drive. Again, they started back at their 19 with 8:15 left to go. So they've had it 7 minutes so far in this third quarter. Have the Falcons, 3rd and 7. Andreas is the tailback. And he gets the handoff. And he runs forward and breaks it through for the first down and more to the 25-yard line. Just power football. Wow.
Well, he keeps his feet moving. He doesn't ever relax his feet, so he's always pushing off.
I think that was his best run of the night, Paul, just standing, just carrying people and getting the first down. And that's his 18th carry. And let's see. He needs 7 more yards now for 1,000 this season. First down for Danvers. Andreas again picking his way through and getting another almost 10 yards. Close to the 15.
Nice tackle by the defender.
They're going to put it at the 17. 8-yard gain, second and 2. And there it is. He's over 1,000 now for the season. 98 yards. He's got 1,001 yards for the season, does Andreas. And this is the, 7th game of the year? 17 seconds left to go, third quarter. 14-7. Danvers on top, in the rain, in their faces. Second down, handoff Andreas, right side, gets the first down, carrying tacklers inside the 15 to the 10. And that will do it here in the third quarter. They're going to put it at the 11, just let me see where they spot the ball. Yeah, it's at the 11, so another 6, another first down, and 2 seconds left to go in the quarter, and now that's it. All right, so we'll take yet another break. We'll come back with a fourth quarter. It's 14-7, Danvers after 3.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we're back for the fourth quarter. Thanks for joining us tonight on radio and on our live streaming video. And it's big first down now and 10. It's at the 11-yard line for Danvers. Again, they can get the first down at the 1. They've been in this range before. Peabody stopped them once on their very first possession in the so-called red zone, but now it's first and 10 once again, and Andreas has just been heating up. He's been chewing it all up. There it is. Oh, it's a fumble covered up by Borders back at the 15.
Well, Peabody took their defensive end, and they put him inside the tight end, which means the tight end will block him down, and they'll just run the off-tackle wider, and there was a huge hole outside.
Well, this is a giant 7-point swing here, one way or the other, Paul, or at least 6.
Especially in this weather.
Yep.
But Danvers has accomplished a lot. I mean, they moved the ball the whole length of the field, and they beat up the clock. And
they've had a
this is a little bit Well, they're still in that stack eye, so we'll see. They've got about 15 to go.
9 minutes, and this is the 16th play, second and 15 from the 16. Andreas picking his way, looking to go somewhere, sidestepping, and getting some yardage inside, well, right down to the 10.
Yeah, you got about 6 yards, so.
Yep.
Wow.
Another six for Andreas.
Well, they have, obviously, confidence in their offensive line because they're, even with second and 15, they're still running the ball.
Well, Bruno Abatessa gets a lot of credit up front from Sean Terrio. He's the center. Cole Johnson, Kyle Purcell, Jack Ackerley, and Brad Anderson up front. Third down and 9. They need to get it to the 1 for the first down. Get it. They need 10 for the touchdown. Third and 9. And again, they've had the ball now for about 10 minutes. Here's the handoff to Andreas. No, it's a rollout by Borders. Keeping it. Is he going to make it? Oh, he's inside the 5. And stopped right at the 4, I believe.
Well, they got two decisions here. They can either go for it or kick a field goal because their kicking game is good.
Yes,
but,
that's true.
It's fourth and about 2 or 3, right?
Yep, yep.
Fourth and
it's
3.
Just inside the 5, so it's almost 3 to go for the first down, yes. Just inside the 5. So it is fourth down and 3 to go for the first down, 4 for the touchdown. And the trouble with the kick is the weather, I would think.
Right, the holder.
Yeah, the snap and the hold. So they're going to go for the first down and or touchdown. And just as I say that, it rains even harder. My, why. All right, here we go. Fourth down for Danvers. Far hash mark. They're at the 4-yard line of Peabody. And it's a play action. Borders looking, rolling, running. And he's going to be knocked short of the goal line. Another defensive stop.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Oh, wait,
get
that's right.
First down.
That's right.
First down.
They can get to the 1. And he may have it. You're right. I spoke too soon.
I don't know.
Peabody is looking like that he got it. They're not happy. First down. First and goal.
That is a Danvers first down.
Borders got it.
First and goal inside the 1-yard line.
Man, there's a clutch play. Wow. Huge. First and goal now from the 1 with 8.5 minutes left to go in this rain. And Peabody up. Check it. Danvers up by a touchdown. First and goal on the hash mark. Going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to stop them at this point. To stop the Falcons. I behind quarterback Dean Borders. Hand off Andreas. He's in. Touchdown. And now it's 20-7.
Well, Peabody just cannot stop that off-tackle play to the right, especially.
22nd carry for Andreas, 111 yards.
Danvers snapper, it looks like he weighs about 110 pounds. But he must be pretty reliable, otherwise he wouldn't be there. You by the way, you can't hit the snapper.
You see the number?
I think it's 4.
I'll have to check it out then, all right. I don't know, muff play maybe or no, they're going for 2 and they get it. Number 2, passing to whom? 2-27, that's new on the program. As a, I look like it was designed. Justin Mullaney, who is a quarterback, passed it over to Justin Curtis. He's a senior, and they got the 2. How about that? Mullaney to Curtis. And so now it's 22-7. But the thing about that drive, Paul, you know, besides the relentlessness of the running of Andreas, you're talking 18 plays,
right,
and 81 yards, and they took almost 10 minutes off the clock.
Right. Yeah, it's just disheartening for the defense and the Peabody offense. It's just, you know, and you're out there on defense, and they've taken a pounding, and he just couldn't stop off tackle to the right.
Well, look at this. Let's see. 14, 26... 30, 35, and 53 snaps for Danvers tonight. For Danvers. 4, 8, 13, 16, 21. What did I say for Danvers?
53.
53 to 21. 21 snaps for Peabody. Okay, short kick comes down at the 20. Dropped, picked up, returned to the 30, down the sidelines, 35, 40. And it looked like Friedman the way he was running. And I can't tell. Put the glasses on it, but I don't know. Well, you can see it on your screen. I don't know what number it was. It comes out to the 41, however. And so now, a gigantic task facing the Peabody Tanners. 8:23 left to go in the game. And it's at their own 41-yard line. First and 10.
Part of the problem is, too, is the same guys that are on Peabody defense are on the Peabody offense.
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty worn down from just playing defense.
Well, yeah.
I saw DeMeo come out. He needed a break.
All right, so DeMeo is the quarterback. He's got twins left, twins right on the far hash mark, going from right to left. And DeMeo is in the shotgun. He's going to launch it way downfield. Could be intercepted. And it's incomplete. Two receivers, including Jake Daugherty down there, but it was broken up by Taj Coakley. Was it Mulaney back there? Is that number two? Yeah, Mulaney was down there as well. Not Mulaney, excuse me, I got the wrong team. Let me get that straight. It was Elijah White was down there with Daugherty in the same vicinity. That was a long, long pass that goes incomplete. It'll be second down, stopping the clock, second and 10. Again, wideouts left and right, pistol, with DeMeo back at his own 35. Peabody intercepted at the 46-yard line. Overthrown, and it was intercepted by the Danvers Falcons. Zach Turner, who's a senior. And, boy, that's a huge turnover, and makes things a lot easier now for Danvers. They've got it at the Peabody 46.
And I bet Danvers comes out in the stack eye and runs off tackle.
So a total of 23 snaps tonight for Peabody on offense. 8:09 left to go in the ball game, and a couple of first downs, and this one could be over. 22-7, still within two scores. But given the conditions and the defense that Danvers has displayed tonight, Peabody is up against it, as they say. Danvers at the Peabody 46. There's your stack eye. There's Andreas to handoff. And there he goes, carrying tacklers. He stopped at the 43, and he took about five Peabody Tanners all the way down to the 37. How do you do? 4-yard gain, and it should have been maybe one. Oh, I'm sorry. It started at the 46. I wrote that wrong. So that's about an 8 or 9 yard gain. 23rd carry. Second down at the 37. Andreas again. First down. Doesn't want to go down, but he'll be stopped inside the 35 to the 33, perhaps. Yep, it's at 33. Another four for...
Well, if you're Peabody, there's not a lot you can do, but you try to create a turnover, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't... Obviously, you got to make the tackle, but you got to make something happen here. Because they'll just run the time down to 2 minutes.
That's Paul Ingram. I'm Rick Moore. Our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Our streamographer tonight, Alex Sanfilippo, out there in the rain, first and 10. Danvers at the Peabody 33. Guess what? Andreas gets the handoff. This time
nice
he stopped
tackle.
After a short gain to the 30. He still gets 3 yards. When he stopped for three, it looks like a loss. Jeez. 25 carries, 127 yards. And he did break the 1,000-yard barrier tonight as well for the season. It's, by the way, Andreas' ninth touchdown of the year. And needless to say, Danvers is taking its time, getting to the huddle with the clock moving. Game early on over in Manning Field on Channel A. If you want to listen to more high school football, it's Beverly at Lynn Classical tonight. There's the eye. And there's the running play to Andreas out of the tailback spot. Goes to his left side inside the 30. See where they put it. Another short game. Man, look at that rain come down. It's coming down in the proverbial sheets now with the wind gust. Yikes. Almost a horizontal rain. Cowabunga. It's at the 27. Another 3 yards. Third down. Let's see. Almost seven to go. Third down. Clock moving. 5:28 for Danvers. Rain just hammering down. Hand off to Andreas. And maybe 1 yard.
Yeah. Yeah, they took their two middle linebackers and put them on the line of scrimmage instead of having them back off.
Well, it's been a long time since we said there's no gain. And that is the 27th carry of the night for at Andreas. Clock has stopped. Somebody call timeout.
Is that a coach out there? Oh, that's the ball.
Yeah. DeMeo getting some instruction from the sideline.
What you do is you exchange. You have three balls going. You know, one guy really getting him dry, another guy getting another one dry, and then you rotate him in. I always get upset when the official would say, throw it to me, and you threw it to him, and he dropped it, and he got wet again.
Didn't care, right? Who cares? You're like, that did a lot of good. Yeah. Well, Paul, impressive again. I mean, we've seen Peabody last couple of weeks look so good and so strong. But, man, they just can't get the ball tonight. Danvers just won't let them have it.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked at that. I mean, Danvers, you know, I think sometimes you look at size and you try to make judgments, but they really are solid, obviously, in the backfield and the skill positions, but they're a lot more solid than you think in the offensive and defensive lines. I mean, Peabody is really run the ball well the last few weeks, and they can't move it.
Mm-hmm. They've done everything well in the last couple of weeks. Danvers doing it better tonight. 22-7. 14-7 lead. Andreas with the touchdown in the second half. There's the eye behind Borders. Andreas will run to his right, and I think he stopped at the line of scrimmage again on the third down and five. And let's see.
I believe that was fourth down, Rick. So
was it fourth down? You are correct. I'm sorry.
Change of possession.
Yes. They got it to the 25, which was short. 2 yard gain. And they'll turn it over to Peabody. So the Tanners, another chance to try to get a quick strike if they can. 5:12 left to go. They did strike very quickly at the end of the half as they put together. With 1 minute and 31 seconds left, five plays and 52 yards. But they got a big task down by 15 right now, and they're at their own 25. Peabody, there goes Friedman. Gainer out to the 30, across the 30, close to the first down, but a little bit short. So they started at their own 25 on this one. And
yeah, they got to move the ball down the field pretty quickly here.
Yeah, they got to get moving. It's at the 32, 7 yard gain, right back to the line of scrimmage with a purpose. D'Amato, wing around, cutting it outside, close to the first down at the. That's Friedman again. He was on a wing.
Right, it's kind of a wing around.
Mm-hmm. Gets it to the 35, which is pretty.
But
close to the first down.
Yeah, but they gave him the first down, but they're just not getting enough out of these plays to make a difference.
First and 10, 4:28 left to go. Everybody has it at their own 35. Look to see if they're going to go to the air. D'Amato under center. There's the play action. He looks left, shoots it screen left. DeMeo dropped it. Tried to run before he caught it, and it's incomplete.
Love to see him come back with that pass play they scored on where they dragged the receiver right across the field because, of course, they had plenty of time to throw it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Darty was open on that one. Got the big gain. 4:16, that clock stopped, obviously. Again, we had a 5:30 start tonight due to the weather. Not raining as heavily right now. You can see the buildup on the track below us and inside the track by the bench. Second and 10. Peabody at their own 35 with the motion man. Pitch to DeMeo. Oh, what a play defensively. Tripped up. My goodness, in the backfield at the 30.
Yeah, he was...
Quinn Holland, yep.
He was across the line of scrimmage.
Quinn Holland, I believe. He had been out hurt, and he's back now, obviously. Five-yard loss on defense. So now it's 3rd and 15, and this is last gasp time for Peabody. 3rd and 15. Motion. Play action. D'Amato with time. Complete. No.
Oh.
Incomplete. DeMeo in and out of his hands again at the 40. He would have been stopped anyway. Short of the first down.
I think that's 84, Rick.
Muse, Brandon Muse. Was the intended receiver then?
He took a shot to the thigh, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right through his hands.
Yep.
Two in a row.
So in catching the ball, how much does weather affect it when you're trying to catch it? If you have a certain
it
feel,
does. You've got to really, you got to really focus on it. You know, you can't take your eye off it, and you know you got to cradle it into your body a little bit too.
Well, another time out on the field, and again, we don't know where we're going to be next week. We'll be covering a bunch of games. Certainly on Friday night, we'll have a couple. Saturday we could probably have one. They do play on Saturday also, right, in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
depending on the field and whether they have lights or not. And not sure about some of these other schools, like North Reading's in the mix, Danvers is in the mix, Marblehead, Gloucester. No, nothing about North Reading. They were always, I thought, in the Cape Ann League, weren't they, for years?
Well, I don't know, and I do know that you were mentioning Melrose earlier, and Steve Cummings was talking about how wary they are of Melrose in the Middlesex League.
Yeah, Melrose the last few years has been very good and very physical, and they were the team that beat up Danvers last year near the end of the season.
Yeah, and that had an effect on Danvers against Gloucester, too, on Thanksgiving, as they were some hurting puppies out there. Another timeout with the rain picking up again and swirling now. The wind is swirling anyway. Clock is stuck at 3:33 right now with the timeouts. First Peabody, now Danvers. So the game was moving along pretty well, but kind of stuck here at the moment. And it's 4th and 15 for Peabody. They're down by 15. They were down 14-7 at the half, but then a long drive. We're talking 18 plays, 81 yards by Danvers, just ate up the third quarter with Matt Andreas scoring from a yard out, and he picked up huge chunks of yardage on that drive. And that made it 22-7 when Milani threw for the two-point conversion. Here we go, fourth down for Peabody at their own 30, fourth and 15.
Looks like man underneath with a zone over the top, which is hard to complete.
All right, D'Amato launching it far and wide, and Coakley was the nearest man to it at the 42 on defense at the Peabody 42. Daugherty was the intended receiver, but he was covered. And so now it's, maybe he tried to throw the interception, which would have been as good as a punt, but Danvers takes over now at the Peabody 30.
Well, they had four wide receivers. They had man on each of those with two over the top in a zone. So it's pretty hard to find a spot to complete the pass versus mm-hmm. that defense.
I lost my papers here. 1, 2, 3, 6. All right, so 3:27 left to go. And action really slowing down at this point. 6. Let's see. They didn't get anything on that drive, did they? 5 yards. 75. First and 10. Andreas to carry from the 30. Just standing straight up and carrying.
Yep. Yeah.
To the 25. 5 yards. So Andreas again, another 5, call it, and let's see. Just inside the 25 to the 24. And for the Danvers tailback, his 29th carry, 140 yards now. And remember, he was held to 40 in that first half. When I say held, I put that in quotations. On the far hash mark, second down and 5 for Danvers. Andreas again. This time he bounces it outside, and I think he's got the first down inside the 20.
Didn't really want to go out of bounds there, but he did pick up the first down, so... Mm. Yeah, you can just look at Peabody's defense. I mean, they're tired.
Mm, well, yeah. I can understand that.
They got
that.
Their hands on their hips, and, you know, they're kind of sucking gas there.
Well, they've been out there for 61 offensive plays now for Danvers, and Peabody has had 29. 2:34 left to go, 22-7. And this is a run play that's not going to go anywhere.
Well, they blitz the linebacker into the off-tackle hole.
Three-yard loss back to the 23, and so... Whew, 31 carries for Andreas. 142 yards, one touchdown. 2:10 left to go in the ballgame. So again, we want you to check the website. We'll let you know where we're going to be next weekend, covering the games, and which game will be our live video streaming. Got to get my money into the MIAA too, Paul. We have to pay a membership cover the
Rick.
Schools. Well, yeah. And Nate Bono at the MIAA been so good with us over the years, helping us out. High formation stacked up. It is keeper by Borders. He throws downfield, and it's incomplete. Intended for Moriarty. Kieran Moriarty down there. So, once again, Peabody will take over with a 1:40 left to go.
Kind of a stalemate here on the 25-yard line.
Yep, going back and forth. 5 yards for you, 5 yards for me. Well, let's see now. 1:40 left to go, so we can wrap this thing up here fairly soon. I didn't count that point. 21 yards. Just trying to keep my stats here as we go along. A leaf comes into the window here. All right. So it is, once again, first down for Peabody. Long, long last couple of minutes of this game. They're at their own 23. Now, you know, theoretically, you get one right now, right here. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying,
but
stranger things.
It's hard with that that look on defense.
Weren't you in a position like this once at Lynn? Down by two?
Yeah.
Late?
But we had.
All right, D'Amato scrambling. He's going to run with it to the 30 and go out of bounds. There's that 5 yards again.
Yeah, but I had a 6-7 split end. Had great leaping ability. And a 6-5 other tight end.
Yeah, okay. All right, point made. It's out to the 32, right? So it's a 9-yard gain, second and 1. As we have another timeout, or is, clock is, oh, he must have got out of bounds. All right, so D'Amato going back into the huddle. Rain almost stopped now. And wind is still blowing now, this time into the faces of Peabody as they head from right to left. 1:32 left to go in the game, 22-7, Danvers. That's a forward pass that gets about 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. A little shovel pass.
Yeah.
Shoveling
that's
it off.
They run their jet from the shotgun. Good
guess.
Play by the defense. And then he got cut, but he got back up and made the tackle. But look at he's limping. He got taken out right at the knee.
Franco Ebitesa with that reception. Number 32. And they lose yardage back to the 28, it looks like. Minus 2. Third and 4, D'Amato rifles it underneath. It's knocked down and incomplete. That was a defensive play by Justin Curtis. And so now it's fourth down once again on the incompletion. Pot stops. Did you see that play by Berfick on Martellus Bennett on Sunday?
No, I didn't.
You didn't see it when he went after his knees. Did you think he went at, you didn't see it.
No.
It was awful. I remember seeing the play and telling my wife, he's going after his knees. And the play wasn't even to Bennett, but you could see it. You know how you go low and try to clip them there? All right, keeper by the quarterback, D'Amato, nothing. Lights out. So it's a yard gain to the 29, and the ball goes back to puberty. It's like ping pong right now between the 30 and the 35.
Yeah. It hasn't moved in 10 minutes.
Well,
now, who's so we don't know who Danvers has got. They probably will be the 3 seed. I think it'll be Marblehead, North Reading, Danvers, Gloucester.
Mm-hmm.
So
how many teams get in?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm a little confused with
well, I was born confused, and it's been a staple of my life. There's the knee, and so we can wrap this thing up. Okay, 40 seconds, clock moving, and just a stellar effort tonight by Danvers. Really, really throwing a wrench into the gears of the Peabody offense tonight. Very, very impressive. And we'll get the, again, we'll get the seedings and who's going to play whom. I would think at least 8 teams, right? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, so there's, so this is the what game? This is the 6th or 7th game. 8,
Danvers
nine.
Will move to 6-1. And there they go, that's it. So the Falcons do move to 6-1 with a 22-7 win. We will come back with a wrap on this one. Final score from Dr. Deering Stadium here in Danvers, Massachusetts. Almost said Peabody. 22-7. Peabody over. Peabody losing, rather. Danvers winning. Danvers 22 and Peabody 7.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from the beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South, Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Well, it was the Dean Border Show in the first half offensively for Danvers. In the second half, it was Matt Andreas, and the final score is 22-7. We'll take a look at the scoring. Nobody scored in that first quarter, but it was dominated by Danvers. They had possession twice and Peabody just for 4 plays, I believe, in that first quarter. But it was finally finished off 2 plays, 60-yard touchdown drive with 2:49 left to go in the half as Borders hit Taj Coakley on a 41-yard pass play. It was a thing of beauty, and it was 7-0 at that point. Danvers. Falcons came back just a minute and 18 seconds later, and they scored on a 4-play, 84-yard touchdown drive. This time, Borders, on a quarterback keeper, went 55 yards. And again, that's 4 plays, 84 yards, 14-0, with a minute and 31 seconds left to go in the half. But then Peabody came right back as the result of a penalty. The kickoff was short. DeMayo got it, I believe, around the 45-yard line for Peabody. And the Tanners were able to put together a 5-play, 52-yard touchdown drive with D'Amato scoring from a yard out with 21 seconds left to go in the half. It's 14-7. and that's where we were at halftime. But then Andreas put together, I did Peabody, watched, they couldn't do anything as Danvers compiled an 18-play, 81-yard touchdown drive that took up more than 10 minutes of the third quarter into the fourth, and Andreas finished it off with a one-yard dive. And they also got the 2 points from Alani to Curtis, making it 22-7 with 8.5 minutes left to go, and that was the ball game. Statistically, 260 yards of offense for Danvers, and they had 209 at the half. For Peabody, they had 81 total yards of offense, and it's reflected in the offensive plays. 63 snaps for Peabody, 33 for Danvers. Dean Borders was 6
around,
say again?
63 for...
the other way around. 63 for Danvers, 33 for Peabody. Thank you. 63 snaps for Danvers tonight and 33 for Peabody. And Dean Borders, 6 out of 10 for 86 yards passing the ball. He also, where's the rest of it? He carried the ball 6 times. Check it, 7 times for... I can't find it now. I don't know where it went, but he also had a bunch of yards running the ball. He was responsible for about 150 yards total offense in that first half. Second half, Andreas comes to life offensively. He finishes the night with 31 carries, 142 yards. He now has 1,045 yards for the season, and that's it, 22-7 Danvers.
Well, offensively, he's their weapon, and Borders is second. But, you know, the game, you have to say, after watching Peabody play a couple weeks, and we thought they were pretty good, that Danvers, you know, at the line of scrimmage is really pretty good, both offensively and defensively, because Peabody just could not run the ball against them. And to be honest with you, they really had trouble stopping Danvers' offensive line. They were making some nice holes there. And, of course, you got good backs, but there are holes there. So I like Danvers. I mean, they're like a lunch bucket crew. I mean, they don't try to make big plays. They're satisfied with getting 3 or 4 yards and just work the ball down the field. So they're going to be tough.
Well, we'll see how far they can go as we'll figure out what the pairings are coming up this week. It'll be announced sometimes. Check out the website. We'll let you know. And it's for the Falcons, they now move to 6-1 for the year, and they're 4-1 in the conference. Peabody drops to 2-3 in the conference, and they are now 3-4 overall. So again, we don't know where we'll be next week, but we'll be somewhere. So on behalf of Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer Bill Proposky, and our streamographer Alex Sanfilippo, come out of the rain, Alex. Final score, I'm Rick Moore. Final score here from Dr. Deering Stadium, 22-7, Danvers wins it over Peabody.